So thoughts that we had this morning, we trust that they'd be of the Lord, and that we could speak on it in such a way that it would bring clarity to the subject. And in doing that, in bringing clarity to the subject, we also find cause to rejoice. Anytime we get clarity in God's word and we understand God's word more and more, it gives us that much more to rejoice in. We find cause to rejoice. I want to try to preach on justification by faith. I've preached on it before, but I submit to you it's probably one of the largest subjects found in God's Word. It's literally all through God's Word, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And the more that we understand what justification by faith is, the more that we can apply it in God's Word in many places. You know, the Apostle Paul, in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he spoke of something there, and this is in part the importance of the understanding of justification by faith. He said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." So we see that there is a salvation in this gospel that he's talking about, by which also you are saved. But there is a requirement here. We're not talking about an eternal salvation. We're talking about a salvation or a deliverance, if you will, now in this life. And deliverance and salvation can be used interchangeably. You can go to Joel, the book of Joel, in the 10th chapter of Romans there, and you can show that Joel used delivered and Paul used saved, and talking about the same scripture, so they're interchangeably, whether we're talking about delivered or not. He goes, "By which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." So we see there is a gospel, and then there is a believing in the gospel. He said, unless you have believed it in vain. In other words, he's saying that it is not profiting you anything. God's word is not profiting you. I suggest that God's word, there is a great profit in the understanding, the hearing, and the believing of God's word. And that great profit is what the Apostle Paul said here. It's a salvation. He said, "By which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you." So we see the importance of keeping God's word in memory in this life. It is not so that we could find the way to heaven. Christ said he was the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by him. The way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you what, you have to be in Christ in order to be with Christ on the cross of Calvary. In other words, he represented you. He represented me there on the cross at Calvary. And we get into Christ because God put us in Christ from before the foundation of the world. So you see, we have to take man completely out of that, but the knowledge of that in this life saves us. It saves our troubled mind. It gives us something to rejoice in if, Paul said, we keep it in memory. We can lose those things. We can forget that we were purged from our old sins, as the Apostle Peter said. We can forget these things. So we have to constantly revisit and go over them and see how widespreading this subject is of justification by faith. Now, I want to start off, and I think it's one of the best places to start off. There's a lot of places to go to when we start talking about justification by faith, but I'd like to start off over in the 5th chapter of Romans when we're talking about justification by faith. Now, here's something very important to understand, and if you've heard this before and you say, "I know what he's going to say," well then praise God, I'm glad I've said it enough. Do you know what I'm going to say? And that's where I want to get with everybody, so you can say, "Yeah, I've heard that before." Good, Good. Then you'll be able to teach others also. So when we look at justification by faith, okay, let's look at, there's three types of justification. I don't want to belabor this point in God's Word. There's justification by the blood, or justification by grace, the Bible calls it sometimes. There is justification by our works. You know, the second chapter of James, you can go and read about that. Justified by our works. Here, there is a, in the fifth chapter, therefore being justified by faith. So we see three different types, if you will, of justification. Now, so we got blood, we got works, and we got faith. All right? Now let's put those aside just a minute and let's look at justification. What does justification mean? Because the word is used in all three of those, right? The word justification is a legal term that declares you justified, that declares you righteous. You go before the court of law and they prove you are innocent of any wrongdoing. You have been justified, haven't you? You've been declared righteous. You've been declared innocent of those accusations or things that are brought against you. You have been justified in those matters. So that is what justification is. Justification, and here is an important application to justification in God's Word. It does not, just when we go to God's Word, it does not change the meaning of justification from the meaning that we use today. It declares you something. Justification does not make you anything. Now that's vitally important that you understand that. That being justified doesn't make you just. Being justified declares what you are, like in the court of law. Being justified of a wrongdoing in the court of law is not what made you innocent. You were already innocent. You're just being declared that you're innocent. Okay? So when we see that, when we're justified by the blood, he says later on in that fifth chapter of Romans, therefore being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath, in the ninth verse. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We are justified by his blood. His blood saved us, and the merits of God's blood in heaven declares us righteous. It declares what we already are through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. And it declares us that, and through that declaration, we're saved from the wrath to come. Being justified by the blood didn't save us from the wrath to come. His blood saved us from the wrath to come. We're just declared righteous through that blood. You see what I'm saying? The reason why I'm laboring on that subject there is because so many times out in the world, the thought of justification as a process in which you must do something in order to obtain it. But that's not what justification is. You have justification by works over in the second chapter of James. Justification by works is being declared righteous in the eyes of those around you. Not self-righteous, but being declared righteous, being declared a child of God by those that are around you. In other words, he says, show me your works without your faith, and I'll show you my faith. I'll show you my works with my faith. I'll show you my faith by my works. I'll get it right. Y'all keep me going straight here. I knew I had something wrong. But so what he's saying is, he's saying our walk, our faith ought to have a change in our walk that others would see in our lives. See, so then you're declared righteous in the eyes of others. They're not making you righteous. They're just declaring you righteous. In the seventh chapter of Luke, I want to show you something here, and this will nip a bud in it, and any thoughts about it making you justified, making you righteous. In the seventh chapter of Luke, the Lord was talking to them about John the Baptist, and And you know where he said, for what went out ye to see, a reed shaking in the wind, and this and that. And then listen to what he says in the 29th, listen to what it says in Luke 7:29, after he talked about John the Baptist. He said, and all the people that heard him, talking about Christ, all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. Now here, the people, it clearly says, they justified God. Did they make God righteous? No. You see, justification doesn't make you righteous. What they were doing in getting baptized was declaring that God was righteous. And when you were baptized into the church, what you are doing is you are declaring God as righteous. You are justifying God in your mind. You are justifying God in your heart. Whether you ever join the church or whether you ever justify him or not doesn't make a bit of difference. He's still righteous. And I want to tell you what, dear child of God, no matter what the world believes about eternal salvation, no matter what the world believes you got to do in order to be saved and go to heaven, I want to tell you what, that's not going to change that you've been declared righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not going to change the work that has already been done on Calvary's cross. Now, every child of God, every child of God has been justified by the blood. Every child of God. They're all, the price has been paid for every last one there on the cross at Calvary. But not every, in fact, I should say far from, not every child of God is justified by faith. That does not mean that you're not justified by the blood. Now the world will say, no, you, if you want to be a child of God, you have to be justified by faith. It's a misunderstanding of what justification by faith is in the Bible. And so that's what we want to try to look at. And certainly not every child of God is justified by works, are they? We can live any old way in this world. We can live a way that is not appealing to the godly nature that is within us. And that would not justify us by our works. We would not be declared righteous by others if we were living a sinful, ungodly way. And we may not believe the report of what Jesus Christ has done, therefore not being justified by faith. We say justified by blood is in the courts of heaven. You're declared righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. Justification by works is being declared righteous in the courts of others, those around you, and how we conduct ourselves in this life. Justification by faith is being declared righteous in the courts of your own mind, in your mind here, being declared righteous. Now that's not as easy a thing to do as you think, because I'm telling you, we're not talking about self-righteousness. I mean, if it's a matter of building oneself up in himself, that's easy to do. I mean, we got that down pretty good. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being righteous through the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, being declared that in our mind to say, I'm a child of God, and I'm righteous through the righteousness of Christ, and that he's done it all. Now, the world will go with you just so far with that. But I want you to see what it gives us, what justification by faith gives us. In the 5th chapter of Romans, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's what it gives us. It gives us a peace with God. You know, not all the world that claims that they're children of God are at peace with God. They're not. I want to tell you, there's multitudes of people, dear children of God, that there's multitudes of God's people today that will tell you that at the final judgment, God's coming back and he's going to bring the scrolls of all the evil that you've done, all the wickedness, all the wrongdoings, and he's going to lay them out before you, and you're going to have to give an account before the judge of heaven and earth for all your sins before the decision is made whether or not you're allowed to go into heaven or not. I want to tell you what, somebody that believes that is not at peace with God. Somebody believes that there's going to be a great tribulation coming out sometime, And all those that didn't choose the Lord are going to suffer for, seven and a half years. I don't know how you get 7.5 years into 7 years, but that's a long story anyhow. But I won't even go into that. But anyhow, the tribulation is going to be some 7.5 years, and it's going to be all of those that are left behind that did not choose the Lord, and they're going to suffer a devil's hell here in this life before the Lord comes and sets up His kingdom. If that's your belief, I want to tell you something. You're not at peace with God. You're not at peace with God. You're not at peace with God. When you feel in your mind and in your heart that He's coming to judge you at the final day. But you are at peace with God when you believe the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that He paid it all on Calvary's cross. Not everybody's at peace, but I'll tell you what the true gospel does. It gives you peace. And you have to have the gospel, by the way, to be justified by faith. You don't need the gospel to be justified by the blood. You don't need anything. But what you need is to be justified by faith, to be declared righteous in your mind, is you have to hear the gospel. You have to hear God's word. Because this is how we learn about it. I'm going to show you that the Ephesians is as an example to how they were justified by faith in hearing the gospel. So we have to hear the gospel. And it brings us a peace. One of the most important things that a person has to understand that is going to be, if he or her is justified by faith, is the doctrine of total depravity. Now, we're going to build this case up here and just show you how few people are really justified by faith in this world. But it's total depravity. Now, remember, we're at the very beginning of the 5th chapter of Romans. In the 4th chapter of Romans, just the chapter before, we're talking about justification by faith, aren't we? And the example that Paul uses is Abraham. And he uses that example of Abraham for justification by faith and then brings it down to the conclusion there in the 5th chapter of Romans, especially that first verse. The 3rd chapter of Romans is what? You remember what's in that 3rd chapter? It's the 15 descriptors of who man is without God in his heart. There is none good, no, not one. There is none righteous, there is none that seeketh after God. There's some 15 descriptions of who we are in our without God in our heart, that there is none good. When you realize that there is not, that you are totally depraved without the Lord in your heart, when you come to realize that, and you lay down your pride and you look and you see the rottenness of who we all are in our Adamic nature, it is then that you see that being justified by faith is quite a leap. It's quite a leap. From going to seeing that you're good, there's none good, none not one, to being declared in your mind that you are righteous. Now that's a huge leap right there. And that's what the gospel does. The gospel is comfort to the weary soul. The gospel is there for those that are poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. See, that is who the gospel is for. It is for those that need to hear the word of God. It is for those that are troubled. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you... Did he say, I'm going to give you eternal salvation? You've already got it. He said, I'm going to give you rest. Rest. Where do you find rest for the troubled and wearied heart? I'll tell you where you find it. You find it in the gospel. You find it in the church where the truth is preached. Where we are reminded, though we're depraved in our old Adamic nature, you're not totally depraved anymore, dear child of God. Because there's a nature now that resides within you that got in there by the Spirit of God. When God planted His Spirit into your heart, there was a new nature there. And it is with that nature that we can hear, that we can read, and that we can believe the Word of God and find comfort for the sin-sick soul. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what he's... Well, I'll get to that next part here in just a little bit. So when he's talking about Abraham, and justification by faith. We have to see, first of all, total depravity. And then we see the grace and mercy of God who loved a people from before the foundation of the world. So we start here in this in the fourth chapter of Romans, and we just want to start about this 18th verse. There's some very good scriptures here that really clarifies, I think, what justification by faith is. He says in the 18th verse, and I'm kind of going through the middle of the thought here, just breaking in. But it's talking about Abraham in the 18th verse, and it says, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. God had promised Abraham a son with Sarah 25 years before that, when Abraham was 75. When Abraham was in his late 80s, he took unto him Hagar and bare him a son, Ishmael. And they did that because of the promises of God, that God would give them a son. And you remember what Abraham said? He said, oh, if let Ishmael be the one. You know, here's the promise, Lord. We have a son. It's not with Sarah, but it's with Sarah's maidservant. It's with Hagar. His name's Ishmael, and that's the promised seed. The Lord said, nope, that's not what I'm talking about. You see, that's how man likes to get involved in God's promises. Man likes to get involved in God's promises and say, well, we've got to do something to make things help God out here. We got to do something in order that things can come forward as God promised. He can't just do it on his own. He said, Abraham, he said, you and Sarah shall have a son. And it was later on when he was 100 years old that they had a son, Isaac. Now listen, he said, who against hope believed in hope. Now here's justification by faith. Justification by faith, using the example of Abraham here. Abraham did not have any hope in himself or Sarah. It wasn't going to happen so far as he biologically could understand it. Him and Sarah were not going to have a child. He had no hope in that. If they were going to have a child, if it was going to happen, which seemed to him impossible biologically and naturally speaking, his hope would have to be in God, not in the natural things. So his hope was not in the natural things. His hope was in God. Who, listen to what it says, who against hope believed in hope. There was no hope in and of himself or Sarah, but his hope was in the Lord, that if the Lord said it was so, it was so. Such it is with the child of God that sees his depravity. When he sees his depravity, he's convinced within himself, and rightfully so, that he's not worthy to be a child of God. That there's no way that God would have anything to do with me. There's no way that God would choose me as one of his children. When we see the depravity of who we are and the rottenness and the filth that we're in, we have no hope at all. But I want to tell you what the gospel does, dear child of God. The gospel doesn't give you hope in yourself. The gospel gives you hope in God. It's God that did it. And see, that's when we have hope against hope. We don't have any hope in and of ourselves. We see there's nothing that I could do in order to go to heaven. Yes, I understand. Multitudes of God's people today will tell you there's something you got to do. But I'm here to tell you they're every last one of them wrong. There's nothing that you can do. When you see the depravity of who you are left with no hope whatsoever. No hope. So the only hope you have is in God. The only hope you have is if I'm a child of God. It's all got to be by the grace and mercy of God, not man, no matter what. Now you're starting to see what justification by faith is. Justification by faith is believing the report that Jesus Christ died on the cross for a people, and those people will be in heaven with Him one day. And it's not by the means or works or anything to do with man whatsoever.
Amen.
That's justification by faith. Now you understand, a lot of people now are not justified by faith. They'll say that Jesus Christ did this, He paid for your sins on Calvary's cross. He's done all the work. He's did it all for you. Dear sinner friend, all you got to do is just accept it.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is just believe it. Or all you got to do is just say a certain prayer. Or all you got to do is come down to the mourner's bench. Or all you got to do is be baptized. Or all you got to do is just live a good moral life and live in such a way the rest of your life to show forth that you are a child of God. And if you don't, you never were a child of God if you can't persevere in godliness. You got to do this or you got to do that. I'm here to tell you what the Bible tells us is we don't do anything. The Bible tells us it's already been done.
Amen.
It was done on the cross. And what it does is it gives us peace. Because from time to time, I know my experience is, I delve back into who I am in the nature of man. And I'm reminded of how rotten and corrupt and undone I am in my own nature. And I'm made to rejoice that it's not of anything that I've done, but it's all of the Lord. And I have peace with God because of that. Now listen to what it says. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, justification by faith is being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, doing what? Giving glory to God. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. What does justification by faith do? It puts you in peace with God. And another thing is you'll be so thankful to God for what He's done for you, you'll be glorifying Him. You'll be rejoicing in Him. You'll be praising Him for what He's done. Listen to what it says. And being fully in the 21st verse. Now we're getting down here. I mean, it's going to really open it up. And being fully persuaded that what He had promised, talking about what God had, Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform.
Mm-hmm.
If God promises it, it can happen. You know, people have a problem with the 6-day creation. They say, well, you know, it's one day is like, you know, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years a day, or, you know, it's 6,000 years or it's 6 million years, or, you know, when he says here, being strong in faith, he was able, that he persuaded that what he had promised. If the Lord said that he created the day in one 24-hour period, and by the way, it was one 24-hour period. He said, and evening and morning were the first day, and he created that. And then he said, and evening and morning were the second day. He was talking about 24-hour periods. I'll tell you what, I am fully persuaded that the Lord created everything that there is in 6 days. I don't have a problem with that. If the Lord says He did it, I don't have to understand how He did it in order to believe that He did it. There's a lot of things that I don't understand about the Lord. There's a lot of things that are way too great for me to be able to comprehend. But that does not mean I can't rejoice in it. It doesn't mean that I can't believe in it and being fully persuaded in the promises of God. And therefore it was imputed because he believed him. Listen to what it says. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. He said, well, there it was imputed there. That's when he received the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. No, sir. Let me tell you what that imputed means. That imputed, you look that up in the Greek, it means a mental reckoning. That imputed means a mental reckoning. Now let's see what it says. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. He had a mental reckoning, a mental understanding that he was righteous because he believed God against all other odds. Now, listen to what it says here. I just love these next few verses that close out this chapter in the 23rd verse. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. This wasn't written for just Abraham's sake. He says, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. We're talking about that imputed again. It's talking about a mental reckoning. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe. There's something we got to do in order to have this mental reckoning in our mind, in order for us to be justified by faith. What is it? Listen to what he says. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. When the Lord was raised again, it declared that God the Father was satisfied with the offering. And he arose the third day for what reason? For our justification. He didn't rise up from the grave in order that he might save some, in order that some may come to him. He rose up from that grave victorious, that he had died for all of those that the Father gave him from before the foundation of the world. He rose up for our justification. The work is done. And that's what justification by faith is simply believing the report. You remember what he said over in the 10th chapter of Hebrews? He said, then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. By the which will, listen to what he says. Do you believe this, what it says? By the which will we are sanctified. Are. Past tense. Well, we are. By the which will, by his will, which he came down here to do, the Father's will. He says, by the which will we are sanctified, how? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that the work that he did satisfied God? Do you believe that the work that Jesus Christ did there on the cross at Calvary sanctified all of those that he died for? Set them apart for a holy use? Consecrated them apart? Set them apart for all? Do you believe that God did that? Now, you know, sometimes you might doubt that you're part of that. You ever doubted, just wondered whether you really were a child of God? That doesn't mean you're not justified by faith. It just means you have your own doubts. And we all have doubts from time to time when we say, I just don't see how I could be a child of God. But justification by faith is this, simply, whether you're part of the plan or not, you don't have any questions about the plan of salvation. I may not be part of it, but Jesus Christ did it all on the cross. That's justification by faith, that he did it all. And justification by faith, when we're justified by faith, it brings us full circle back again. Because when we get in a doubting way, and we're doubting that I'm a child of God, how could I be a child of God, act or think or do some of the things that I do? How could I be a child of God? You know what justification by faith does? It brings you right back full circle again to say, you know what, brother, or you know what, sister? It didn't have anything to do with you to begin with. It had everything to do with the love of God. It had everything to do with his sacrificial with his sacrifice there on the cross and his love that he had from you from before the foundation of the world. So then what happens is justification by faith just brings you back full circle again. He goes on to say, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which could never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstools. Of course, we understand the last enemy in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians is death. Death is the last enemy. He said, for by one offering, in the 14th verse, for by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Who are those that are sanctified? He just explained it up in the 10th verse, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He goes on to say that those that are sanctified are perfected forever. Do you believe that this morning? That what Jesus Christ did, I believe you do. I'm not questioning your belief in God's word, but I'm bringing those things forward to show you that that is truly being justified by faith. It gives us peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to this next verse here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. By whom also, now the whom is talking about Jesus Christ, because we're at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith. Okay? We're talking about justifying faith, right? Justification by faith. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now listen to what he says. It sounds somewhat confusing. He's saying you have access to get somewhere where you already are. That's what he said. Listen to it again. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. You're already standing there, and you have access into where you're already standing. That doesn't hardly make any sense, does it? Absolutely makes perfect sense when you look at it as justification by faith. Right. It is being justified by faith. When we're declared righteous in our minds through the righteousness of God, it gives us access to see where we already are. Amen. And where are we? We're in the grace of God. Every child of God is in the grace of God, is standing in the grace of God. But not every child of God has access to see where they're standing. Again, a lot of people stand, think they're going to be standing in judgment. They're going to be standing in condemnation if they don't do this, or if my family doesn't do that, or my friends don't do that. They're going to be standing in judgment, and they're going to go to hell and this and that. They're not at peace with God. They don't see, dear child of God, through the gospel, that where you're already standing is in the grace of God. That's what justification by faith does. It gives you access by faith into that grace wherein ye stand. Now, is it important to be justified by faith? Isn't it a blessing? It's not going to take away from what the Lord did. You're still a child of God, whether you ever hear the gospel, whether you're ever around open book, God's word, whether you're ever around somebody that has the correct interpretation, the correct understanding of God's word. It's not going to change a thing about being justified by the blood. What it does is it simply gives you access to see where you already are. In the grace of God, being justified by faith. Now, I told you the Ephesians where the gospel is needed in order to receive this blessing. And so we see that being brought forth in the first chapter of Ephesians. Again, it's the Apostle Paul with very long sentences, so we're just going to jump right in the middle of it here about the 12th verse. Well, the 11th verse. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now listen to what he says here. That we should be to the praise of his glory. Remember, that's what the apostle said in the 5th chapter of Romans, that is to the praise of His glory. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Now, who was it that first trusted in Christ? Such as the Jews. The Jews first trusted in Christ. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. Now, who's ye? It's the Gentiles. He's talking to the church of Ephesus. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. So see, there was something that happened after they heard the word of truth. They trusted. They believed. The gospel, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. This is justification by faith. He goes on to say, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That Holy Spirit of promise, of God's promise, of what the Lord has done, of believing God as Abraham did, believing in the promises of God. Listen to what he goes on to say here. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the what? Praise of His glory. By the way, that's the third time just into the 14th verse. He says it also in the 6th verse. That's the third time that the Apostle Paul says to the praise of His glory. He's wanting us to catch something there. That this is all to the praise of His glory. When we're justified by faith, when we trust in Him and what He has done, it is all to the praise of His glory. And we're sealed with that in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance. That peace, that joy, the rejoicing that we have is just an earnest. It's just an earnest of that inheritance, of the earnest of when we'll go to heaven. So we see there in that, in being justified by faith, you can see here that we have that it gives us great peace with God. Now I want to show you just very quickly an example found in God's Word of justification by faith that doesn't really come out and say justification by faith, but we can. The more that we understand justification by faith, the more that we can see it. And we see that very clearly, I believe, and I trust I'll just show it to you, and you can study it out more and more, and I trust you see it clear and clear, is the woman that had the issue of blood. Now, there's three different places that we can find that in God's Word, and we want to go to the, for time's sake, let's just go to the 5th chapter of Mark, and I just want to read something here. It says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years," remember now, if they had an issue of blood, they were ostracized from their family. They were ostracized from the community. They were removed from everybody. Here, this woman has had an issue of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had. She'd been doing everything she could to try to get healed, to try to get fixed. And was nothing better, but rather grew worse. So we see that she's actually not getting any better. And she spent all of her money now. And she's getting worse, going to all these physicians. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, "If I may touch but His clothes, I shall be made whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. So we see that she touched the hem of His garment, and what happened? She believed that if she just touched the hem of His garment, that she would be made whole. And she was made whole. Now, we can also see the same instance or another time when they touched the hem of His garment in the 14th chapter of Matthew, but we won't go there. I want to show you something about the hem of His garment and the significance of touching the hem of His garment. It was in the clothes that they wore, that the Jews wore. So we go all the way back to the 15th chapter of Numbers. And we go all the way back to the 15th chapter of Numbers, and we see the clothes that they were to wear there. And the Lord spake in the 37th verse, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. Okay? So they had blue ribbon around the fringe or the border, the hem of their garments. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be ye holy unto your God. There was only one problem with that. The problem was, is they were constantly, by seeing the ribbon, the blue ribbon around their hem of their garment and others, they were constantly reminded to try to keep the commandments of God. The problem with that is we cannot keep the commandments of God. So in looking at those blue fringes, you see, the purpose of the law was not to try to ascribe to righteousness. It was the purpose of the law and us seeing the law is to show us how unrighteous we are without the law of Christ, without the Lord. So that's the true purpose of the law. So when you would see that blue, you would be reminded of how far short you came and being that person that is following all of the commandments of God. And we go over here to the 23rd chapter of Matthew, and we're going to bring all this in a very quick way. But there are people that use the law to ascribe to righteousness. And here we see the Pharisees in the 23rd chapter of Matthew. He says there, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to the disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, and they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But with all their works, listen here, they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. That's just where you kept the laws, and they kept it on their foreheads. He says they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Isn't that interesting? They enlarge the borders of their garment. You know what it is? They want everybody to make sure they see the blue around them because they're keeping the law. You see, it's a sign of self-righteousness. What this woman with the issue of blood was saying is, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just receive his righteousness, I shall be made whole. You see what I'm saying? That's what she's saying, in essence. So when she touches the hem of his garment, she's made whole. It is Isaiah that has told us that his train fills the temple. Oh, I heard somebody told me one time they were talking about a real train. I'm like, that's not talking about a real train. It's talking about a train off of a dress or off of a long robe. His train fills the temple. It is in the Lord's house. Here's a beautiful picture. It is in the Lord's house that we can come together under the sound of the gospel and we can touch the hem of his garment. Right. It is in the gospel that we can declare his righteousness, not ours, that we can declare his righteousness and that he's done the work. You see, that this lady went to many doctors, many physicians and spent all and didn't get any better, but those growing worse. There are a lot of false doctrines out there. There are a lot of false doctors. Doctor works, doctor perseverance, doctor baptism. Say, you've got to do this and you've got to do that. This is what's required. And I want to tell you, for the sin sick soul, for many a children of God, you know what? They never do really get any better. I've talked with people that have come down to a man-made altar many, many times in their life and never did feel any better from the first one to the last one. Weren't feeling any better whatsoever. But I want to tell you what, when you come into the Lord's house where His garment fills the temple, or His train fills the temple, it's there that we can rejoice in the Lord. It's there that we can touch the hem of His garment. It's there that we can be justified by faith. That it's not in my own righteousness, but it's in the righteousness of Jesus Christ and what He has done. This woman, when she had touched the hem of His garment, was healed of her plagues. And I want to tell you what the gospel will do, dear child of God. If you believe, if you hear the gospel and you believe the gospel, it will heal you too in this life. It'll heal you. It'll heal the sick and lame and the blind. And those with the palsy, it heals us in this life. That's justification by faith. So we see justification by faith, and that's just one example. One of my favorite ones that I go to all the time is John chapter 4. The woman at the well. You remember the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well? That's justification by faith. That's what we're talking about. When the Lord answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. Talk about natural water. We can keep drinking this water. We're gonna keep thirsting. If you're still living, you're gonna be thirsting for more water. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. We're talking about a forever quench of water. Shall never thirst. Now this is not talking about the gospel, because I thirst for the gospel. I long to hear the gospel from week to week, from the time I long to hear good sound preaching. I long for that. I thirst for that. So it's not talking about the gospel. What's it talking about? It's talking about salvation. It's talking about justification by faith and the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. He says, I've got some water for you. And whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise he talked about over in Ephesians. So that no matter in our lives, no matter what the trouble is, no matter the trials, no matter what Satan tries to tell us in our mind, we have the confirmation through the gospel that we are a child of God and that heaven is our home because of what He has done, not because of what I've done, not because of what you have done, but solely because of what He has done. So we conclude with the same place that we started in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that you already have some understanding of justification by faith. If not, I trust that this has cleared it up even some more. And if not, I trust it's caused you to even rejoice in what you already do know. God bless you. I appreciate the time.